are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's open our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read from Luke chapter 8. We're going to read from verse 18 for our text before we go to Brother Graham's sermon, The Rising of the Sun, and then we're going to read several more paragraphs in Brother Graham's sermon. Luke 8 and 18, we hear Jesus say, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we've read from your word, and now our service is complete. We've come to worship you in spirit, and now we worship you in truth. Therefore, Father, we just ask that you would help us to get ourselves out of the way, that we might understand better what you have for us in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice that take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, normally we say, well, how do you hear? I got ears. I use my ears to hear. But that word how actually was translated from the Greek word pos, and it means the manner in which we hear. So, in other words, take heed it in the manner in which you are hearing. And the word hear actually means understand. So, then he would be saying, take heed, therefore, in the manner in which you are understanding. Because you can have an understanding and understanding to both be opposite from hearing the same thing. So from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God, Brother Graham said, the church spiritual, able by revelation, by grace, he seen beyond that, and by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and testified of his righteousness. God, and the same thing took place in Ishmael and Isaac. One was of the flesh, one was of the spirit. One of the bondwoman, one of the free woman. And it happened the same thing in Israel and Moab. Two great churches coming together. And then Israel was wanting to go to their promised place, church spiritual, Jacob's people. Israel on the road, Esau's people met them. Moab, church powerful. And the great leader of the church, Balaam, came down to curse his brother, but he found that he could not curse his brother. He failed with the blindness of his eyes to see the predestinated plan and to see the Word of God. At first, faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. Then the believer hears it, then he recognizes it, and then he acts upon it. But the carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. See, hear means to understand. Look at it. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. See, except a man be born again, he cannot see or cannot understand the kingdom of God. So we are aware of what Brother Branham is telling us here. There's two types of believers. One is carnal, and the other is spiritual or spirit-filled. In fact, he said in his sermon, Blind Bartimaeus, he said, every revival produces twins. The two sons of Isaac is well represented. Every time there's a revival, there's an Esau born and a Jacob born. One religious man of the world, he gets starchy, takes some seminary experience, and the other one wants that birthright, regardless of how he has to get it. If he has to be the holy roller or anything else, he wants that birthright. I don't care. That's what's the matter with the people today. They're afraid of that birthright. Oh, how they hate that. But it produces twins. The men of the world, very religious inclined. They do good alms and things, but cares nothing about the birthright. Those two great factions have been fighting since the world began. And they're about ready to come to a head right now, where something that Jesus said, that they'd be so close alike that they'd deceive very elected if it was possible. It's true. You see what a deceiving hour that we're living in. Stay with the Word, brother. Don't leave that Word. That's right. The Word will speak for itself. Okay, so we see then that every revival produces twins. And this last end time revival that God sent to us through his prophet, William Branham, prophet of Malachi 4, it's no different from any other revival throughout Bible times. And Brother Don told us every one of them revivals produce twins. Therefore, we must be able to see that there were twins that were born by this revival as well. Now, the thing about these twins is that only one is very intellectual, and he knows the scriptures, and he quotes by heart, and he can recite them by memory. And the other twin only cares about the birthright. He cares for nothing else than to be spirit-filled and led by the Father. But both are religious, both can quote the word, both love to worship, both know and do all the fundamentals, like going to church every time the church doors open, paying their tithes to God, talking the word with one another, even studying the word so that when they talk it, they'll seem to know what they're talking about. But oh my, Jesus said, they will be so close that it would deceive even the very elect if that were possible. But it isn't possible. For one reason. The elect have the Holy Spirit, and the others do not. The elect have oil in their lamps, in their vessels, and the others do not. Yet both are virgins, which means both were not touched by man. They were not part of a denominational system. Both were waiting for the coming of the groom, and both had their lamps, which is their Bibles, and they both trimmed their lamps, which means that they used their Bibles to search through for answers and for studying it. Yet only one had oil in their vessel, while the other had no oil in their vessel. And we know that oil represents the Holy Spirit. So we see in Luke 8:18 that Jesus is warning us that even in the way that we hear, or the way that we understand, we need to be very, very careful. Because we could be hearing or understanding, but not actually perceiving, seeing yet not recognizing, as he also said in Matthew 13:10-17. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them, those on the outside, in parables? And he answered said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. So we see here that there are twins involved, one who is given to know, and the other who is not given to know, and thus understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And we know according to 1 Corinthians 2 that the only way that you can understand the things of God is if the Spirit of God is in you. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 we read, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice immediately after he says we have received the Spirit of God, he tells us the very purpose for that is that we might know. Again, we read 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even though the things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God knows. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to know. Alright? In fact, it's impossible for you to know and to understand the things of God. He goes on and says, for whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he is echoing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. In other words, your eyes are doing something, your ears are doing something, but your heart, there's no clue, there's no perception, there's no understanding. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they perceive, and your ears, for they understand. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to perceive those things which you are perceiving, and have not perceived them, and to understand those things which you understand, and have not understood them. As Brother Bab said, many of the times the prophets spoke in the Old Testament, they said things, and he said they had no clue what they were saying, because it wasn't timely. So there is no hour like this hour when the full mysteries of God have been made known to the understanding of those who have the birthright. That's why the most important thing is not parousia. It is not understanding Godhead. It's getting the Holy Ghost so that you can understand parousia. You can understand Godhead. And we read also from Mark 4:11-12, where we read Jesus saying, and he said unto them, unto you, notice, unto you it's given to know. the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. So, who are these ones on the outside? Who are these ones without? Now, when he says those on the outside, he's talking about those who have not the Holy Spirit and have not been baptized into one body. If they haven't been baptized into one body, they're on the outside. Because they're not part of the body. They are without the body. They're not part of the body. And if they have not the Spirit of Christ, they are none of His. They are on the outside. Now, let's look at what Brother Branham said in the sermon, Rising of the Sun, paragraph 67. That's where we pick up today. Talking to a little preacher the other day, he said, now, Brother Branham, I've come out and went over to a certain church, a Pentecostal church, where the Pentecostals have now started taking the round wafer, you know. Now, this Brother Branham actually saying this. He says, the Pentecostals, he's kind of interjecting to let us know, well, this guy went to Pentecostal church, but Brother Branham said, but the Pentecostals have now started taking the round wafer, you know. You've heard of that, I guess, the kosher, the moon god, you know. And they all accepted it and taking it. And this man said the congregation went to him and he said, what I bless is blessed. Now listen to what Brother Branham says next. Now ain't that what the priest says? He has power to turn it back to the body of Christ. See? Just six of one and half a dozen of the other, just the same. And he said, I want to ask you something. He was trying to dodge that issue of the baptism in Jesus' name, because this was the man that said it was the Antichrist that did that. He said, do you think it is all necessary that a man should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? I said, yes, sir. He said, after he's been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I said, yes, sir. He hasn't been baptized at all. He hasn't been baptized at all. No name, that's a title. And I said, It isn't recognized. I said, why did Peter? He said, well, now let me tell you something. He said, now in Acts 10:49, he said, now while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. But I said, he turned right around and said, can a man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now, notice Brother Brown lets you know right there that if you use the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when baptizing anyone, it is no good and God will not even recognize it as so. Then he goes on later, and we're going to talk about that. He says, you know, if you go up to, I'll just read it because we're going to get there. You see, we began our study tonight by reading what Jesus said in Luke 8:18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. In other words, be very careful how you understand, in what manner that you understand. For whosoever echoes to him shall be given, and whosoever echoes not from him shall be taken, even that which he thinks that he's echoing. So according to Jesus, you can seem to echo when you're not even echoing. You're only repeating. You can seem to be understanding when you're not understanding, or your understanding is totally off base. You can think that you're hearing when you actually have no clue what it is that you're hearing, because if you have not the Spirit of God, if you have not the birthright, you really have no clue at all as to what you're hearing, because you have no understanding of what you're hearing. Now, it may seem to you to make sense, but it doesn't make sense to God, because what you think it is in reality is not what it is at all that you think that you're hearing. It's like children. You know, they hear a foreign language and they think that they understand what these people are saying. You go to Poland and all we hear is boosh, 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 boosh. I have no clue what boosh, 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 but they have understanding because they understand the difference between a boosh and a boosh. You understand? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to say that, look, you can hear it, but you don't understand it. You don't understand the language. But when you got the Holy Ghost, you understand God's language. Amen? His word. All right. Now, let's continue in our reading. And if you're not careful, you'll be thinking that this is what Brother Branham is saying. That he's only repeating what a brother said to him that had no understanding of true baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he said, well, now, you were speaking over there a while ago about Acts 19, where Paul passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding them disciples. He said, why? He said, they wasn't baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I said, no, they were baptized unto repentance, not for remission of sins, unto repentance, because Jesus hadn't been made known yet. the sacrifice hadn't been killed. He said, well, why did they have to be baptized over? I said, the man that had the keys said this, for be it known unto you that there is not another name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Salvation alone goes in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we don't do Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because there's no salvation in Father, no salvation in Son, no salvation in title of Holy Ghost. There's no salvation in Jehovah. There's no salvation in, you know, saying the name of Jehovah. There's no salvation in saying the name Elohim. In the name of Elohim, I baptize you. There's no salvation in that. There's salvation in one name. And that's Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. There's not another name. There's no church, no hierarchy, no titles, or nothing else. Yet He is the Rose of Sharon. Mm-hmm. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Morning Star. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of the end. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Raphael, Manasseh, all of these. He's all of these, but yet there's not no salvation in any of those titles. Jehovah, no salvation. Rose of Sharon, yet He is. No salvation. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, no salvation. Only the name of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that repentance and remission of sins must be taught in His name, beginning at Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth. See, that is why when men come with what they believe to be a higher revelation, you must not open your ears to such nonsense. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. It's death to baptize using titles. Then why do they do it? Because they have not the birthright which brings the understanding. And let's face it, the Catholic Church was the first to baptize using the titles, showing then that if you are baptized using the titles, you are baptized under Roman Catholic dogma. Now let that sink in real deep. Now let's continue with what God's prophet said in Rising of the Sun. We're going to pick up at paragraph 69. He said, do you think it makes any difference? I said, sir, I want to ask you something. He and I and my wife were sitting at the table. He just moved over to see me. And I said, we are both Arizonans. We live here. And we know our council and our ward and all and our mayor and our governor and everything. He said, yes. And I said, now, if I told you, my brother, to go over here and sign up for our dinner in the name of the governor of the state of Arizona, would you go sign for it like that? You think that they'd receive it at the desk? Why, he said, I guess not. He said, why did Jesus say that? I said, this is it. See? In other words, he's saying, well, why did Jesus say, go and be baptized in the name of Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost? See, why? If I told you to go sign for this dinner in the name of governor of the state of Arizona, and us being citizens of Arizona, and knowing who the governor is, why, you'd know to sign it in the name of Sam Goddard. See? I said, because he is the governor of the state. I don't have to question you. You know who the governor is. Now, when he said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he knowed how that they was going to baptize. He knowed who he was. My sheep hear my voice. See? He said, oh, I see. But now the next thing, will you believe? You say, now you're telling me, brother, that you see it. But will you believe it? How do I know I believe it? Because you do it. You see? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. And when this new eternal life dwells in you, it is a potential. When you have received this Holy Spirit now, that they did at Pentecost, they were the mechanics, now the dynamics had to come, they had believed. Now this is a good illustration that Brother Branham is speaking here, because people think that they're hearing, but in actuality, they are not hearing because they are not understanding. Because if you do not understand or recognize what you are hearing, you will not act upon what you have heard and have understood. In Mark 4:24, we hear Jesus say, and he said unto them, take heed. That means be careful what you hear. And the word what, now notice in the last scripture we read, he said, be careful how you hear. Now he's saying be careful what you hear. And that Greek word was pos, it means in the manner that you're hearing. And now we hear him say, be careful what you hear. And the word was translated from the Greek word tis, making it say, be careful in what manner you hear. It's the same thing. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. And unto you that understand shall more be given. Now what's he saying? He's saying if you're looking through the eyes of a Baptist, you're going to read a Baptist Bible. If you're looking through the eyes of a Catholic, you're going to read it like a Catholic. If you're looking at it through the eyes of a Pentecostal, you're going to read it like a Pentecostal. Because you're not taking heed how or what manner you're understanding. You see, you've got your understanding already made up, so you're going to read and fit your understanding. And that's where you're in danger. So we see that it is not what you hear, as though God is concerned with the words themselves that are spoken, but rather God is more concerned with the understanding you get from what you're hearing. That is what really counts, because I can listen to these liars in the media and not believe them, or I can listen to them and go away believing their false report. So the understanding you get from hearing is what he is focused on. It's the understanding. It's not the words. Like I said, you could be sitting and listening to the same person, two people. Let's say just a real conservative person and a liberal person. And you got a liberal person over here speaking. The liberal hears him and he believes him. The conservative person listens. He says, I know better than that. I'm not going to swallow what they're saying. They're not telling me the facts. They're telling me fake. You see, two people can listen to fake news media and one goes away believing it, while the other goes away saying, well, this is just more evidence of the mainstream media are the purveyors of fake news. Same thing in the pulpits. They can be quoting a prophet. They can be quoting scripture. The Pharisees quoted scripture to Jesus and they had no clue what they were quoting. Therefore, it is not the content that we are to be careful about, but our understanding of that content. And that is what the Holy Ghost is for. We are living in the most deceitful time in the history of mankind. Now, the Apostle Paul warned us what this end time would be like. And he describes the attributes and characteristics of the end time people. In 2 Timothy 3:1, we read, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." In other words, they will be self-centered, self-centric, the me generation with slogans like, "Have it your way." And they shall be covetousness, and that means that they shall be inordinately greedy for money and possessions. And they shall be boasters, in other words, they speak with great exaggeration and excessive pride towards themselves. You know, everything is huge. Right? And in fact, they will be proud, showing a high opinion of one's own dignity, importance, and superiority. And on top of that, they will be blasphemers, speaking irreverently of God or of sacred things. Now, we see all of this happening right in the news today. Disobedient to parents. That means hard or impossible to manage. Stubbornly disobedient. And on top of that, they will be unthankful. That means ungrateful. Now just look at all these young people running in the streets, turning over cars, burning everything that is good. These are not the hard-working people who support this nation with their taxes, but the disobedient children who have everything been handed to them on a platter and are not even thankful for what they have been given. Many of them have parents who slave away and spend $50,000 to $100,000 a year for their child to go to some school where they get brainwashed and become idiots. And then it says they're spoiled rotten. And because they are unthankful, they become unholy. They become impious, sinful, wicked. And to them, nothing is sacred. And that is what these words mean, people. And we are seeing these same conditions on the news daily, which tells us we are at the end time. And that is not all of it. The Apostle Paul continues with saying, they are without natural affection. Not only are they hard-hearted, but they have no natural affection, killing the unborn so that they could avoid stretch marks and becoming LGBT and sodomites and loving everything that is evil and hating anything that is godly. Someone told me the other day, I think it might have been Brother Don. He said, "What's the difference between these LGBTs people and a bastard born?" Well, a bastard born son doesn't know his father. And the LGBT don't know who their father and mother are.
I mean, they don't know if they are father or mother. They're confused about gender.
But these people are sodomites and love everything that is evil and hating anything that is godly. Even the women's march would not allow other women into that march simply because those other women believed in the sanctity of life in the womb. And so they become truce breakers. That means they they cannot be appeased or mollified or pacified. They are inexorable. You cannot deal with such people as this. They are fit only for destruction. Brother Ben called them Cannon Fodder. And on top of that, they are false accusers. That means they are traducers. They speak maliciously and falsely, and they slander and defame others, knowing what they are saying is false, and they say it anyway. If that is not a description of what we have seen in the daily news by the mainstream media, I don't know what else would be. And they are incontinent. That means they are lacking in moderation or self-control, especially of sexual desire. Looking at the streets of Europe, where hundreds of women were raped in one night, incontinent. And they are fierce, menacingly wild and savage or hostile, violent in force and intensity. And they are despisers of those that are good. They are filled with contempt and disgust and scorn for those that are good. In other words, they hate Christians. And the Apostle Paul does not stop there. He continues to describe these end-time brute beasts as traitors. A person who commits treason by betraying his or her country. Look at, we've got three presidents. It's up there, but I'm just not going to say it for the tape's sake. But we've got the last three presidents have all shown themselves to be traitors. Last four, actually. They've all shown themselves to be traitors. They sold our missile technology to the Chinese for millions of dollars in donations. They sold their birthright. They sold away this nation. The last administration supplied money, weapons, and armament to a murderous regime around the world, selling out the people of America. Look at what Benghazi was all about. That's where they're actually selling weapons to the Syrian rebels. They call them rebels. They're not rebels. It's ISIS being funded by our own government. Look what they did in Mexico. They sent weapons down there so that they could come across our borders and shoot our border guards. And they're all traitors. And they have turned America and the world upside down, causing the vast worldwide emigration that we're seeing today. And these are heady, clever, shrewd, and impetuous people. And they are high-minded. This means that they are full of ideology, idealisms. But notice this, idealism hates those who are good. So it's a satanic idealism in nature, in origin. And they are lovers of pleasure, in other words, sensual gratification, more than lovers of God. Yet these are religious people, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Brother Brad defined this in his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time. He said, O America, how oft God would have overed you, but now your hours come. You lead the world in filth, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, no true love, even for one another, man to woman, woman to man, not even natural affections, filled sexually. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce and despisers of those that are good. In other words, they say, you bunch of holy rollers. Someone asked the other day about coming up to here to the church. He said, don't go up there. All it is a big bunch of noise and carrying on. See? Despisers of those. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You say, well, Brother Graham, that's communism. What's the next verse say? Having a form of godliness. But what? Denying the power thereof. The Word, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, manifested a promise for the day. Just exactly like Hananiah, just exactly like Zedekiah, just exactly like Balaam on back, other false prophets, having a form of godliness, anointed, see? Having a form, anointed, ordained ministers, having a form of godliness, but denying that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and denying His Word. How do they deny Jesus in that day? Who do they deny when they deny Jesus? The Word. They were religious. They taught from their Bible, but denied the present-day Word. What are they today? Same thing, anointed, preaching the gospel of Pentecost, but denying the present day promise of the word being vindicated. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Do you see it? For this is the sort are they that which creep into houses and lead silly women, laden with sin, led away with by divers lusts, are sowing parted and so-and-so. Somebody come around trying to misinterpret the word and saying this, and it's all right, sisters, for you to have short hair. Don't pay no attention to that nitwit. You see? But if you wear this, it's not that. It's what comes out of the man's heart that defiles it. See? And do you realize that you are anointed with an evil, lustful, dirty spirit? And I don't care. You might sing in the choir with short hair, but you got an evil spirit. That's contrary to the words. That's right. It's what the Bible says, and you say, well, I wear shorts that don't condemn me. How whosoever, if a woman puts on a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination in the sight of God. The unchanging God said that. Now, for this sort are they which creep into houses. That's houses of God. And the captive silly women, the women always represents the church, so these are churches, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Janet and Jabez withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And there is only one faith because there is only one Lord. Brother Bram said, if you have more than one Lord, you have more than one faith. From anointed ones at the end time, he said, now notice, that was Jesus speaking. Now here come Paul right behind him and said, now, in the last days there will come religious people, see, having the form of godliness, and these silly women led away with all kinds of worldly lusts. Then why wonder... And say, why do you pick on the women? Oh, for goodness. They just don't even see it. They lead silly women, laden with divers lusts, away from things like that. As Janus and Jambres, now, Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now, as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate mind concerning the faith, not a faith, but the faith, one Lord. You can't have faith. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms. Not one for the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. That's right. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, the persecution and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, in closing, Jesus warned us, be careful how you hear, for with what measure that you're using to measure it out, he said, it is with that same measure you shall receive it back. And he also told the serpent that they filled up the measure of the serpent's seed. He said, you fill up the measure of your fathers. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Then he said to them, you do that which you have understood through your father, and I only speak that which I understand my father to have said. So what we're dealing with here is a certain mindset that is being applied. Pharaoh looked out the same window as Moses looked. They both saw the same people doing the same work, but Pharaoh saw mud daubers, and Moses saw the children of promise. So what are you seeing today? A messy political climate or evidence that we're at the end times? They just struck a medal today. They have a new medal. They have it both in silver and gold. And it's a picture of Trump at the inauguration. And it says on it, world peace. There you go. When they shall say peace, peace, and sudden destruction. 1 Timothy 4:1. So what do you see when you see all this? I'm seeing the end time. I'm not seeing a restoration of America. I'm seeing everything getting set up for the blast. So are we seeing a messy political climate or evidence of the end time? 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So what are you seeing? We're at the end time. In Luke 8:18, we hear Jesus say, take heed, be careful, therefore, how or in what manner you are understanding, for whosoever echoes to him shall be given, and whosoever echoes not from him shall be taken, even that he seemeth to be echoing. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, it's short, but it's to the point. Father, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to guard the understanding we've been given through a vindicated prophet, and that we would never sway from that understanding. Help us, O God, and guide us. Help us to come to the place where we know that we know. We know that we are the sons of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song in closing. I know whom I have believed, and I'm able. Able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that.